This morning, I kind of was talking to Tim this morning, so he's going to be kind of getting his ears perked up here because I want him to do some further research. We're going to talk about Nicodemus this morning. Before we talk about Nicodemus, I'm going to talk about Greg Laurie. He's a pastor. In fact, his story is about Jesus' revolution. He's part of that story in that movie, okay? So it talks about when he was younger, when he was a teenager, and he hung around with the wrong group at one time. And he starts noticing that on the front lawn of the high school, there's these Bible thumpers carrying their Bibles around, and at lunchtime, every single lunchtime during the week, they would get as a group, and they would sit in front, because it's California, you know, it's probably pretty nice there all the time, and they would get as a group, instead of having lunch, or they might eat their lunch, but they would have Bible study during their lunchtime. Okay? So this is what he says. I want you to listen to this. It goes, everyone knew who these people were, and we either hated them or we felt sorry for them, he says. My friends warned me to stay away from the Christians, which I did for a while. But I also was sort of interested in these unusual people who carried Bibles to school and talked about Jesus as though he was their next door neighbor. Then one day, out of curiosity, I love this, I went to one of their meetings, sort of. I just sat close enough to where I could hear what they were saying, but I sat far enough away that it didn't appear like I was a part of them. And that was the day I gave my life to Christ. Isn't that awesome? He says, initially I was reluctant to be identified with the Christians. I wanted to do the things quietly and secretively, he goes on to say. And a lot of people are like that today. They don't want to say that they are Christians, but they prefer to be undercover believers. Now you understand where I'm coming from with this. I was talking to Tim again about this earlier. Nicodemus was kind of what would you want to call an undercover believer in Jesus, okay? Because it says in John 3, the Bible tells us that Nicodemus wanted to talk to Jesus, but he wanted to do it in the dark. He wanted to make an arrangement to see Jesus, but he wanted to see Jesus at night, at dark, okay? So why would Nicodemus want to do that? Was it because he wanted to do it in the cool of the day? No. Nicodemus, he was a man of notoriety. He was well known for who he was. And with that being said, he did not want to be recognized because after all, he is a Pharisee. Okay? He's a Pharisee. So he did not want people to see him going to Jesus. First off, but then secondly, think about it. Nicodemus was in a position that, to a lot of people, Nicodemus knew everything. If you wanted an answer, go to Nicodemus. Okay? But to think that Nicodemus would have questions? Never. But that's just the point. That's what Nicodemus was doing. That's why he wanted to go in the dark, because he had questions. He had questions for Jesus. Now think about this. When some people, when they first are, you know, check into the gospel or want to do what Greg Laurie did, I remember my husband was like that. I remember when we went to church together in Lakin, and the first thing, you know, I'll go to church with you, but I ain't raising my hands. When they sing, I ain't going to do that. I'm just not going to. I don't feel comfortable doing that. But about the third weekend, he's got his hands higher than everybody else's. But see, that's just it. We got to step back. When somebody gets ministered to, we got to step back and say, wait a minute, let's do it in God's time. It's not how we think it should be done. It's how God thinks it should be done. And that's, we're speaking about Nicodemus here. God is doing it the way he knows that Nicodemus will receive it. Okay? So with that being said, Nicodemus, he had it all, didn't he? He had everything that anyone could have to be happy. He had wealth, he had power, he had fame, he even had morality, which is what? Honesty, he was trustworthy, he was diligent, he was reliable, he was emotionally and mentally stable. Okay? Now, Nicodemus was known by most people, okay? He was a man whom others looked to for direction and spiritual answers. Again, though, here's Nicodemus. He's looking for questions. Now, Nicodemus, well-known, highly educated, deeply religious, but something was missing. Even though he had power, he had wealth, he had fame, he had all of these things going for him, but he says, something is missing. There's a void somewhere. Okay, Nicodemus, again, was a Pharisee. And often we think of Pharisees, we think of in a negative sense, right? We think of it in that sense. But listen to this, listen to this. But not all of them, speaking of the Pharisees, they were not all corrupt, okay? Understand, it wasn't easy to become a Pharisee. It took a lot of study, it took a lot of preparation, and it took a lot of discipline to be in that particular office, okay? It talks about, it says, a Pharisee was someone who had committed himself to a solemn vow before two witnesses that he would devote every moment of his life to obeying the Ten Commandments. Thus, Nicodemus had spent hours studying the Scriptures, hours in prayer to God. He was very devout, and he was a religious individual. Now, Nicodemus had enough spiritual discernment to know that Jesus was sent by God. God put that discernment in him. But did Nicodemus necessarily know that Jesus was the Messiah? There you go. There's one of them for you to look at there. Now, the next one, the conversation between Jesus and Nicodemus wasn't simply a conversation between two historical figures. You know, because both were historical figures. But it wasn't just a conversation between the two of them. I love it what it says here when I was reading further on to this. Rather, it was a conversation between God and humanity. And then it goes on to say, if we were to elect an earthly individual to go before the Lord, Nicodemus would probably be right up there on the top of the list. Because again, he was trustworthy, he was reliable, he was faithful, he was diligent, and he knew the word. He studied it intensely. So earthly-wise individual, Nicodemus would be the guy to go to be the one to go before the Lord for you. And just giving you an idea as an earthly individual, okay? Jesus gave Nicodemus the answers that have unlocked the mysteries of life for countless millions of people through the centuries. Jesus made time for in his schedule for Nicodemus. Why? Because Nicodemus was searching. He knew Nicodemus' heart. Isn't that what the word says? That God looks upon the heart. So when God saw that, and Jesus saw that Nicodemus was searching with all his heart, what's he going to do? He's going to make a way for Nicodemus to get the answers he's looking for. Okay? When a person is genuinely searching and wants to know answers to God, to the things God has, the truths of God's word, it says in Jeremiah 29, if you look for me wholeheartedly, you will find me. Okay? So, now, in John chapter 3, verse 2, it says Nicodemus finally is face to face and he's meeting Jesus. Now listen, Nicodemus is saying, Rabbi, this is what Nicodemus is saying to Jesus. Rabbi, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. Okay? So Nicodemus knows that Jesus is sent there to do a task. But again, he's saying here, we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Okay, so maybe that's where the level where Nicodemus is at. He's here as a teacher. Because he calls him rabbi. He says, you are a teacher. That's what a rabbi is a teacher. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you. He doesn't say he's God. He just said that God is with you, which is true, okay? But then it goes on to say that Jesus immediately gets to the point. He doesn't pull any punches. You know, here's Nicodemus. he's kind of starting out with small talk, but Jesus, right off the bat, this is what he says. I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. He gets right to the point. Cut to the quick, okay? So in other words, Jesus was saying to Nicodemus, you will not see the kingdom of God presently until you realize who I am. Here's a man who's devoted his whole life to the Word of God, and yet Jesus is telling him, you will not see the kingdom of God presently until you realize who I am. You're not going to get that up here. That's going to be right here. And when it gets to being right here, then you start walking in it. Because when it's up here, you can ride the fence. You can have your foot in the world and your foot on the other side serving God. But you know what? God says, if you're sitting on the fence, he says, I will spew you out. Either you're hot or you're cold. But if you're lukewarm, I will spew you out. And that's exactly where Nicodemus was at. He didn't like it there. He didn't want to be there. Okay, so let's go on. It says, simply stated, if you are not born again, then you will not see heaven and you won't experience the life. So there's two things here. Let me read this to you. You won't experience eternity until you open your heart to my rule and reign, and you won't be there externally until you are born again. Okay, so simply put, if you are born again, then you won't go, if you're not born again, you won't go to heaven. But then it says you won't experience the life that God has for you. And one of those things is his relationship with you. He wants you to have a relationship. So Nicodemus, again, is a Pharisee, understands what Jesus is saying. That apart from Christ, what? Apart from Christ, we are dead in our sin. That's out of Ephesians 2:1. So Nicodemus, now he's getting up there in years. And he knows his time is probably pretty short. So he's searching. And he knows, now wait a minute, this guy's different than all the others that have proclaimed that, you know, that they're the Messiah. This guy's different. And I'm up in years. I've got to figure out if what he's doing here is the real deal. Okay? So, Nicodemus, again, he's a moral guy, and he's also a religious guy, but it isn't enough, and he realizes that. In his conversation with Jesus, he realizes that what he has in the natural is not enough to get him into the kingdom of God. It doesn't bring us closer to heaven. Now, Jesus, bless his heart, in John 3:8, he helps Nicodemus try to understand. This is what he says. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but you can't tell, but can't tell where it comes from or where it goes. So you can't explain how people are born in the Spirit. Okay, so because Nicodemus is going, well, how can you be born again? And this is what Jesus says. You can't see the wind, so therefore, because you can't see the wind, you don't know where it's coming from and you don't know where it's going. It's the same thing. You can't explain how people are born in the Spirit. Jesus continues to say this, which is great. It is just like the wind. You don't see the wind coming or where it's going, but you see its effects of the wind. You see the effects of the wind. You can't tell that. You can see the rain. You know that rain is coming because of the clouds, okay? So you know that it's going to rain. And when it rains, you see it rain. You feel it rain, okay? But the great thing is when we see God, we can't see him, but, you know, some people say, well, because I can't see him, then he doesn't exist. Well, let me ask you this. You see these lights? They came by what? By electricity. Do you see the electricity? You see the effects of the electricity. It turned the lights on. But do you see electricity? No. But if you know, some people saying, well, I don't believe there's a God because I can't see him. Well, then you don't believe in electricity because you can't see it. Think about that. So I love this. It says, we see the impact that God has made on his people because it's just like the wind. God has shown us through his word by sending the Holy Spirit. In Romans 5:8, But God shows his great love for us by sending Christ to die for us while we were still sinners. So it's, again, it's God's effect. It's his love, his faith, his grace, his mercy. All those things are tangible in the spirit, but we cannot grab a hold of them. But the great thing is, with these gifts that he's given us, of faithfulness, of grace and mercy, all of these things, we see the effects of it. We see the effects of God's love. John 3:16, so that everyone who believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, in John 19:39-40, it says, with him came Nicodemus, the man who had come to Jesus at night. He brought about 75 pounds of perfume ointment made from myrrh and aloe. Now, we've heard the story about, you know, the fact that he went to Jesus and he asked him questions. And I don't know how many times I've read this scripture, because I always thought, what happened to Nicodemus? Whatever happened to Nicodemus after the night him and Jesus had that talk in the dark? Right here it is. Right here it is. It says, with him came Nicodemus. What he's talking about is Joseph of Arimathea. So in the end, Nicodemus turned out to be one of the most courageous of Jesus' followers. He was the most courageous of Jesus' followers. After the crucifixion, a man named Joseph of Arimathea showed up with Nicodemus to claim the body of Jesus. Now get this, are you ready for this? At this point, the Lord's own disciples had deserted him. But Nicodemus and Joseph came and they claimed the body of Christ. They were willing to be counted for their faith. So as we walk in our faith, over the many years, we've might seen people that you would think, oh man, they're going to do a great thing for the Lord. And then as it turns out, they fall away from their faith. And then there's others that you think, oh, they're not going to accomplish much for the Lord. They're too introverted, or they're too this or too that, or they're not enough of this or enough of that. And yet God uses them in a mighty way. So don't go by what you see. Okay, so Nicodemus started slowly, didn't he? He started slowly because, again, he didn't want anybody to see him because of his notoriety, because of who the people thought he was. They didn't want, he didn't want them to think that he was a less of a person because he was looking for questions. So he starts out slowly. He starts out slowly, but in the end, he comes through. It is a great race that he ran, and he ran it well. But the thing is, did he finish it? I believe that he did. So what does it mean to believe? Isn't that what it all comes down to? Believing? See, that was the thing that was going on with Nicodemus. It doesn't mean intellectual, that he was thinking intellectually when he believed. Because you cannot use your thought process is to believe in the things of God. What does it mean to believe? It doesn't mean intellectually accepting something. To believe means to put your complete faith in something, even though you do not see it. Faith is the substance of the things that we do not see, the evidence of the things that we see. Now, Nicodemus needed to learn to go with his heart knowledge. That's where we need to stop and say, as you're stepping out in something, you need to stop yourself and say, am I going with my head knowledge here, or am I going with my heart knowledge here? And that's where Nicodemus had to get to in his life. All of us will get there. All of us will come to that point in our lives where we have to say, where am I going? Am I going to be on the fence where I'm going to get spewed out? Or am I going to be on this side walking in the things of God and going by my heart knowledge? Or am I going to be that other person that's walking in the things of the world and you're walking in your head knowledge? Like Nicodemus, you could have everything. And you could be so devoted to what you're doing and believe that it is so, so right. And yet find out it is not enough to get you into the kingdom of God. And yet, what he's asking us to do is so simple. So, so simple. And it's what? Believing. Having faith that God sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, to take our place, to take our sins upon himself, so that we could stand before the Father in righteousness. And when we believe that, those doors of heaven are open to us. Nicodemus needed to learn, like I said, was it his head knowledge or his heart knowledge that he wanted to follow? Now in closing, I want to say this. In Ecclesiastes 3:11, and I'm going to use the scripture today in the service coming up, it says, God has planted eternity in the human heart. Huh? Pastor Bonnie, what does that mean? I'm going to say it again. God has planted eternity in the human heart. This simply means that every individual has the awareness that there's something more and that there is someone more. That's what Nicodemus was knowing. That's what that searching that he had. He knew that there was something more. And he knew that there was someone more. That's that eternity that God has planted in the human heart. That when you die, here you're done. That's it. It's over. That's it. No. God planted in each and every human heart eternity. Where do we want to spend it? Where do we want to go when we leave this earth? This simply means that every individual has the awareness that there is something more and that there is someone more. That something more is heaven and that someone more is Jesus Christ. This is why Nicodemus was truly searching, because he was being led by the eternity that was planted in his heart. So this morning I ask you in closing, if you are truly, truly searching, if you are truly searching, then you'll know that you know that God, he's done it to every individual that comes into this world. He plants that eternity in our heart. It's there. Are we going to use it? And when we do use it, which way are we going to go with it? I have a young lady that stays with me, and she's 30 years old. She looks like she's 20. And I was sharing with Tim this morning that you throw a scripture out or throw something about the word and she knows it. She just knows it. But it's not the head knowledge that impresses me with her. It's her walk. Her walk is you could just sit back and you know that she's got a love for the Lord that's just awesome. And she's been raised that way. That's the way her parents were. And that's the way she is. She'll ask me what I'm sharing, and she'll throw in some things, and what do you think of this scripture with it? So and she doesn't get her Bible out. She just throws it at you, that particular scripture. So, but the point is, she had all the head knowledge, but she's not using the head knowledge. She's using the heart knowledge. Amen. So with that being said, let's go ahead and close with prayer. Father, we thank you for planting eternity into the human heart. Lord, may your blessings continue to unfold in our lives, guiding our steps and bringing fulfillment to our souls. With a thankful heart, as we daily offer up to you our praise and our thanksgiving to you. Again, help us and guide us as you lead us, because we have that eternity planted in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.